You are listening to the Just Chill Parenting Podcast. I am your host, Rosie Davidson, an infant sleep consultant, author, and mum of three. This is a show all about honest chat where I talk about my favourite topic, sleep, of course, but I will also be covering your burning parenting questions and speak to some very special guests along the way. So buckle up and enjoy! Hello and welcome to the Just Chill Parenting Podcast. This podcast, I'm joined by a really exciting guest. The special guest is Sophie Liard, otherwise known as the Folding Lady. I'm a big fan of Sophie and she's also used my sleep courses in the past with her boys, but more on that later. Sophie started the Folding Lady in a bid to share clever solutions to making the most of small space living and show others that sometimes you have to let go of trying to tackle the big stuff and make the most of the little things that can be controlled and bring you untold comfort and solace amidst daily stress. Welcome, Sophie.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on the pod. Let's start by you telling us a bit more about who you are and what you do.
I'm Sophie. I'm the Folding Lady, if you follow me on social media. I have a background in retail, which is where my folding skills come into play, and how I really started sharing, you know, the folding techniques on social media and how it grew to where it is now. That is where that all began, on the shop floor with all my merchandising and folding techniques. I also randomly, and unrelated to retail, have a degree in early childhood as well. And sometimes that's quite a fun fact to know about me that not many people do.
Yeah, I love that.
So, yes, it was a really good degree to do, actually. I have used it a lot, not just in things to do with children, but just humans in general, I have to say. Now I just, you know, I talk about organizing your home and just, I think part of my philosophy and part of my values is just going back to basics. Social media can make organizing look like this very grand, very unrelatable thing to do and be. And actually what I really, really want to do is sort of squash that a bit and bring it back to basics, because the basics are fantastic.
Yeah, I really wanted to get you on because I've followed you for a while now since you used our online courses. And I find like organizing and tidying and folding and stuff quite overwhelming. And I think also when you're tired and you're just a parent trying to juggle everything, it can feel really difficult. And actually, sometimes I feel like the mess and the disorganization can add to stress. So it's kind of like chicken and egg. It's like, what is causing the stress? Is it that it's messy, or is it that there's a pressure? I don't know. But it's great to have something accessible that makes it feel less overwhelming, and like maybe like one thing you can try, kind of thing.
Yes, because look, on social media, the important thing to remember is everything you watch isn't going to be speaking to you. And especially with my content, I show a range of ways to do things, and it's not always going to be resonating with you and your home. But, you know, there will be bits that will. So the key thing to remember about what you see on social media is just to take what resonates, because it isn't all going to resonate with you.
So what's it like having a big following? You've got quite a big following. And do you share much of your family life and your work? Is it a bit of a balance, or do you focus it mainly on work?
I probably try and focus it mainly on work. I do share some of my family life. It's quite a difficult balance. Like I definitely don't want to make the reason that people come to my account, you know, solely based on what me and the kids and the rest of my family, my husband are doing that day. I don't share my kids as much. I don't share my eldest child at all. I share a little bit of my youngest, Arthur, because he's just too cute. But they're more of like, if I happen to have my camera out and I'm filming it to send to like my family group, then I'll pop it on social media as well. So yeah, and there's a little bit of an element with Arthur that Arthur has a speech delay. We didn't realize where that was going to go originally. And I did talk about it a couple of times. I think I mentioned it on social media, And the response I got when I off the cuff mentioned it was just incredible, of other parents wanting to ask questions because their child had a speech delay, or they thought their child might have had a speech delay. So there is a couple of elements of that I do share as a from a parent's perspective on Arthur's speech delay. So yeah, that is something I do share because I feel like it does really help people.
Yeah, it's hard to get the balance, isn't it? I don't share my older girls anymore, but I do share about my son. And interestingly, he has a speech delay. The response to that, again, has been huge with lots of interest. He's been referred for an ASD assessment, and I will talk about that at some point. But yeah, there's a lot of people who can resonate. So sometimes it is really nice, and you can really help people, can't you, by sharing some of your experience. But it's also a balance of protecting your child's privacy, your privacy, and making sure that you feel comfortable with that. And it can be a really hard balance, I think, when you've got a big account.
When I first shared it, it was just, I think I must have said it in a sentence that Arthur had a speech delay. And that part of that sentence was picked up. And then I got a whole load of messages from parents. And some of the parents were really, really worried. And the difficulty is that I was at the start of that journey with Arthur. And I couldn't answer some of those questions. And I really can't tell them what to do. So I'm very, very aware, like I'm not an expert in that field. We've also had a journey as well, like Arthur has been diagnosed, he is neurodiverse. And that journey, even though we have had our diagnosis, we are still in that journey. And I think the other thing about that journey is it's so emotional and stressful. And not that some of it should be, but the system doesn't allow it to be the easiest journey. So the emotion that was going on, let's call it behind the camera on that, didn't allow for me to have any space to want to talk about it to a mass audience, because I knew what response I would get. I knew I'd have to be mentally prepared to respond to some messages and try and do my best. And you know what? I just chose not to, because I wasn't in a good enough space to be able to, you know, help other people. And also, you learn so much day to day. You learn so much. And every day you learn something new. And the worry for me is that I give out the wrong information because I'm not the expert. So I'm happy to give a parent's perspective on a lot of things. But it takes a lot of strength to share it to a big audience. There's parts of that journey that we've been on where I literally haven't had the strength to do that at all.
I can really relate to this, exactly what you're saying, because we're quite near the beginning of our journey. But I'm learning more every day. Like we've got the SEND team in touch. We've got speech and language therapy in our area. We've got all of these things happening. We've had our referral, but the waiting list is so long, and access to these things is so difficult. But I feel like I don't want to say too much about it until maybe we've got a diagnosis or we're further down the road. And even then, so difficult. Families are sending me messages saying, what are the signs? What? Why did you think this? What did you do? And it's so difficult because I'm not an expert. And if I start, you know, I can't start dishing out advice to people.
The worry is that you don't want to give the false hope for people. I know what it's like to go to the internet to look for the answers that you're getting on your child. I know that. I did that. And actually, it's not that, because these children, they're all different. They're all completely unique. And what you've got to do is, and I think the one word that I repeat over and over again when I do talk to people about it is patience. You really, really learn the art of being patient. And it's all patience with your child, but also the systems that you have to go through. And just learning that you can't really look to anyone else's child, and you really, I mean, there's lots of advice that you can give, and there is pieces of advice that I have been able to give, don't get me wrong. But the difference is I'm talking one-on-one to someone. That is completely different to if you're talking to over 500,000 people. Sometimes the message doesn't quite get out the way you are telling it, and people make, you know, they take it their own way. And that's really difficult. And what I wouldn't want to do is, you know, give out the wrong information. So yeah, if I do talk about it, you'll probably find that I go at the beginning of the story, I'll say, this is my own experience. Yeah. I'm talking from my own experience. You have to make that so clear. I think people are starting to get it, that social media isn't talking to you individually. I'm not talking to an individual. I'm talking from experience. You know, yeah, it's definitely something I feel like we're all learning about social media, because yeah, it's, you know, still relatively new. But yeah, it's a tough one. It's a real tough one what to share, especially about such emotional subjects as well. And when those subjects are to do with children, then it's even more emotional. So, and when I say emotional, I don't necessarily mean negative emotions. I mean positive as well.
Yeah, of course. And I find myself, I have to remember, sometimes I'm wearing my professional hat. So, you know, I'm giving expert advice on sleep, and sometimes I'm giving advice as a mum and have my own personal experience. Similar to you, sometimes you're giving expert advice about folding and organising, and sometimes you're giving experience as a parent. So let's yeah, get back to what you do best. What is your favourite item to fold? Tell me.
Oh, my favourite item to fold. I love folding jeans. I mean, I actually used to work the denim department in the department store that I worked in. And when I worked on that department, I was pregnant with George, my eldest. And I just remember I wasn't someone who did pregnancy particularly well. I was constantly feeling sick. I was so tired. Because we worked in retail, really, we had to be stood up all day. If you were pregnant, they'd give you a chair so we could sit down now and again. And I just remember working on the denim department, pregnant with George. At the end of the day, I'd sit on my stool and I'd fold jeans. And it was just so calming, and it just made me feel so much better. And it just gave me a rest. And I'd just get really lost. And sometimes I'd be doing it alone, and I'd just get lost in my own thoughts. And then sometimes, especially at the weekend, I'd be folding with a colleague and we'd have the best chats. And so I really love folding jeans, not just because it looks so satisfying when it's done, but just because I just remember back to the time that I was pregnant, and it just gave me a little bit of therapy to just take my mind off how sick I felt the whole way through. So yeah, I love folding jeans.
Yeah, there's something about keeping your hands busy, isn't there, I think, and it can like help calm you down yeah, and like just go to another space.
There's something about taking a mess and making it look tidy and aesthetically pleasing that just is like it's a short, sharp, achievable action. And I just think that for me is very satisfying as well.
Yeah, I think it gives me a real dopamine hit. Like if I organise a drawer and then I keep going back to look at it, I'm like, oh, that just feels so nice.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
What would you say is the hardest thing to fold or organise?
It's probably like all those clothes that have, like you've got one shoulder, or you've got little straps, or you've got a dress, or yeah, a dungarees, you know, something that's not starting symmetrical, like a pair of jeans are pretty symmetrical, or a t-shirt's pretty symmetrical. It's already really a rectangle. There's not much that you have to do to get that final fold in. So like knickers as well, and things, and bras and things like that, they're all a little bit tricky, but everything's foldable, so you just have to learn how to do it. But yeah, those things are probably a little bit tricky, and probably bulkier things, sort of coats and jumpers and like thick knits, that is, they're probably a little bit tougher to fold. But once you get it, if you've got the right storage, then everything is foldable.
I think the storage is really key. So with my girls' drawers, we've been recently trying to reorganize them, because they basically ended up with the girls just chucking everything in and just being a mess, because I've started trying to get them involved in putting their own laundry away. But without drawer dividers, it wasn't working very well. So we've sorted that out, and it is much easier. But I think if you don't have that and you just have a massive drawer, I mean, how can you keep it tidy?
Drawer dividers are my absolute favourite product, and they will live in your house forever. And once you've bought them, you know, as your child grows or your clothing changes, they will change with it, so you won't have to rebuy them. They're very flexible, they're very adjustable. Yeah. So the drawer dividers are fab. And just good furniture, which I'm going to say IKEA all the way. Yes. IKEA furniture. We just got a PAX wardrobe and it is incredible. So, so good.
And my tip, actually, I know this isn't about me, but my tip, when you have a baby, you think you should buy a baby wardrobe. I don't think people should. Do you agree?
I don't think people should either. Do you know, here's the thing, right? I've got two kids, right? One of them is 16 and one of them is 5. So I feel like I've lived a parenting life and then I'm reliving a parenting life. And I've had so much time to reflect on what you actually need and what you really don't need that I feel like a lot of things I've aced this time and I haven't wasted money on stuff that I bought. And I'm not saying I actually, George, my eldest, he didn't even have his own room to begin with. We never bought baby furniture, but I was like, you wouldn't need it. Just go straight in and buy what's going to be in their room, like that's going to last the whole time. You don't need baby furniture. You don't really need a fantastic cot. I mean, if you want it and you can get it, get it. I'm not against it at all. But you don't need it. It's a want, it's not a need at all. You can absolutely just start and go straight in with what furniture would carry through the whole year. And it's also a bed as well. I was thinking about this the other day when I saw someone posting their kid's bedroom and they just moved house and these kids had like massive rooms and they bought them single beds. And I was thinking, well, you know, if you've got the space, just get the, not necessarily double, but George has got a half double. A half double, is that what it's called?
A small double. Yeah.
He hasn't got a queen. There's no room for a queen in there. But he's got a small double. And I was like, I'm just not doing it. I'm just not going in with a single bed when I just know he'll, I want to keep him in the house for as long as I can. Do you know what I mean? I want to keep my kids at home for a little bit longer than I stayed at home. So, yeah, I think toddler beds are a no from me as well.
Yeah, I think sometimes people buy a cot that turns into a toddler bed. I think if you don't have one, I definitely would say just go straight to a proper bed. If you have the space, a small double. If you don't, a single, obviously. But there's no point buying a toddler bed when you've gone from a cot because they'll be in it for 5 minutes and then
you'll... Yeah, definitely.
It'll feel like 5 minutes. It might not at the time.
But yeah, it won't at the time for sure.
One of the things I love about your page is you share gadgets and things that can help you around the home. Mm. Like I've had a look at some of your lists on Amazon. I'm like, oh my God, this is a thing I didn't know that I needed, but now I need it. What is your favourite gadget that might be helpful to parents?
I just love an Amazon find. I mean, drawer dividers are just the dream.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have invented them because I've sold a lot. So I kind of wish they were my product, but they're not. So I just need to make peace with that. But the drawer dividers are excellent. I'm trying to think what other baby products I had. I mean, we loved our white noise machine. We got this little one. Actually, someone bought it for Arthur when he was born, and it was great. We loved the white noise machine. Oh, I really love the snooze shade. If you ask Jacob, my husband, what was his favourite product, it was the snooze shade. Like, we loved it. Like, what a great product. Absolutely perfection, because Arthur was a baby actually who loved the dark. So he wouldn't go to sleep unless it was pitch black, and I don't know whether that was because I watched your videos on the off and you suggest the dark room. So we got the blackout blinds, but sometimes the blackout blinds don't quite, they got the suckers and they're a bit annoying, but the blackout blinds are fine. But then when we were out and about, we were determined to go out and about with Arthur. I didn't do that with George. I was very like, oh, we have to be here for, you know, when he's asleep, I have to be at home and I have to put him in bed. And I was like, I'm not doing that with Arthur. I want, you know, we need to be able to go out. So this new shade was affection for that.
Yeah, it can give you the flexibility. I think some people who are listening to this might be worried because you know, you need to keep an eye on your babies. Obviously, you want to be checking on them, but the sleep shade is air permeable and breathable. I know Cara, who actually created it, so she'll be pleased it's been mentioned on this podcast. But yeah, I do like the sleep shade. And I think
Cara.
Yes. Having the flexibility around your child's sleep, I think, is really important. If you can get out and about for your mental health and physical health, getting fresh air, and you don't want to be trapped at home all the time.
And on holiday as well. And, you know, I think the one thing I learned the second time around with Arthur, with sleeping kids, is that you can still live a life and your kid can still be in a really good routine and you can be out and about. Arthur used it. We used it from birth all the way to, I don't know, I think we got the bigger one as well, because there's two, isn't there? I think we got the bigger one for the bigger pram. But he got some good sleep because we were able to, you know, black out the buggy. It was the buggy that we used on.
So can you tell me a bit about your journey with your son's sleep? And I was looking back, I think we first spoke, or you first mentioned my courses in January 2021.
And I think, wow.
Yeah. So that was, it's quite a long, 3 years ago now.
I knew you way before that. Before I was on social media, I'd done your courses.
Had you?
So I followed you. Arthur was born in, I want to say 2018. I did your online sleep course, your first, when you first released it.
You're an OG.
I literally did the first, I did the first course as soon as you released it. I did it. It was like, I can't remember how much it was, but it was such a good price. I was like, I'm doing this. I understood the value of it. So yeah, I was following your stuff way before I was on social media.
Wow. That's so good to hear. And you went through kind of the information in the course and essentially, would you say it was sleep training or were you doing like little tweaks and things? Do you remember?
I totally followed everything that you said. I was already doing some of it because I'd watched your YouTube videos, so I was already blacking out the room.
Yeah,
I tell you what it is with the sleep course as well, it's just giving you the confidence to do it. It's giving you the confidence to get it done. I feel like attached to it is some sort of mum guilt that you're saying that you want to sleep, because ultimately it's because I wanted to sleep as well. Like, I was a horrible person and I wasn't doing a good enough job because I was not sleeping. And so I think doing the course just gave me that kick up the bum to just get on with it. But the reason I came to it and the reason I found you was because with George and my first, he did not sleep until he was 3. I was up every night through the night with him until he was 3, and then he just decided to start sleeping. And I don't even remember that moment. I think it all just meshed into him growing up.
Yeah.
He just didn't sleep and it was just horrendous. And I remember one of the first things I said when I found out I was pregnant with Arthur, I was like, this one's sleeping. It was really hard. And I just remember saying to myself, I'm not doing that again. I can't go through that again.
Oh, I'm so glad you found me. The thing is, there's so much emotion tied up in it, like you said, in guilt. I think sometimes people make the mistake of thinking it's a selfish act because you think, you know, you said you needed sleep, but also he needed to sleep. And also with the journey you've been on with him, I think all children benefit from having really firm boundaries that they can trust that make them feel safe. But also children who are neurodiverse will find that they need those boundaries and those routines and familiarity even more, I find.
Yes. But of course, that's something you don't know back then at the beginning. It's weird because I want to say, I always say Arthur's such a good sleeper, but then I know that's because I put the effort into that sleep as well.
Yeah.
But then you'll never know whether he would have been just a sleeper or not, because he does like his sleep. He did always like going to bed. The dark room probably makes more sense to me now.
Yeah.
I was straight on it. Obviously, I didn't start it from the day he entered the world, of course. But I waited until there's a time frame that you say, isn't it? It's too long ago for me to remember. But there is a time frame and I remember hitting it as soon as I got to that time frame.
Yeah, if you're doing sleep training, I tend to say from 6 months, which is probably what it was. But we do have a younger course now where you can do kind of gentle sleep shaping, where you're working on helping build good foundations so that it's kind of easier when you do get to that point and you might not even need to sleep train. There are things we can do earlier.
Yeah, I think I was doing those a few things that, like I said, because the sleep course wasn't out when I first started following you, and I was doing your YouTube videos. So I was putting, you know, putting all the things in place. But actually, you've just reminded me, I do remember when George started sleeping. And I think this is how I got to sleep train. I can't believe I just forgot that. I did sleep train George. I got to the point of needing to do something. And I think someone must have mentioned it to me. And when I sleep trained George, I think he was like two nights, and that kid started sleeping.
Amazing.
I can't believe I just forgot that. And it was incredible.
You can go through weeks, months, years of these sleepless nights and you're like, why didn't I just do this? Why didn't I do it earlier?
No.
Within 2 nights.
You don't know what you don't know, do you? That's the thing. Back when I had George, there wasn't really social media. It certainly wasn't what it is now. So to get information, it was generally talking to people. And, you know, you have a small pool of people you can talk to. And I was 21 when I had George and I had no friends that had babies. Here's what I was basing what I thought having a child was on. My sister, my elder sister, she had my niece. I was 18 when she had Ellie. And I used to look after Ellie one day a week on my day off work. So on a Wednesday, I used to look after Ellie. Now, Ellie was a sleeper. She, oh my gosh, I just remember, like, my sister would give me a timetable, like 12 o'clock, lunch, and then nap time. And I'd go up and I'd put Ellie in her bed and she would just turn over and go to sleep. Now, my sister had done nothing to achieve that. It was just Ellie's way of being. And she was just amazing. And I based what I thought babies slept like on my experience with Ellie, because that's the only experience I had. Yeah. So when I then had George, who didn't do that, I was like, oh my God, what's going on? Like, this is not what Ellie was like. I didn't have any comparisons except that. So I had to sort of, I don't know, rationalize my brain and say, I could Google a few things, but now you've got a whole wealth of information online to go off, most of it very, very useful. When it came to having Arthur all those years later, I had so much information and education at my fingertips. It was really, really beneficial. It was really great.
Yeah. There wasn't really much around when I had my first, who's just about to turn 11. And I started the business when she was a baby, really. And I was one of the first kind of on Instagram creating this stuff. And actually before Instagram, like you said, it was like YouTube, Facebook, kind of making video content on there. And I really wish that there'd been more information around when I had my first, because, you know, our antenatal classes didn't tell us anything about sleep. And, you know, you're not ready. You're just like, what, you know, like you said, and sometimes you'll have references in your life from other people you know. And there are some babies who do just have a really chilled out personality, and some of them will sleep where you feel like you've not really, no one's really done anything. Although, it is interesting because you said that she had quite a routine where you'd be like, okay, we'll do this at this time. So maybe she was more organized than you thought, but it just naturally fallen into it.
Yeah, she had like such a good routine. And because my sister went back to work full time and we all looked after Ellie on a different day. I did Wednesdays, someone else did Tuesdays, and we all stuck to the same routine. So yeah, it probably was an element of that. I think she's nearly 20 now, actually. She's 19. She's definitely a good sleeper still, I have to say that. Yeah, and I think partly it was in her nature. She was very chilled. She was a very chilled child, very good child.
One of the good things about having a routine is you know when they're napping and stuff, and then you can do these things, like we've spoken about earlier, like tidy your home or focus on one little thing. If you say, okay, I've got 20 minutes, half an hour, I know it's going to make me feel better if I tidy up this drawer or organize something in my life a little bit, just to give me a bit of solace in that moment. Like, you might be struggling, or I don't know whether with some people the mess triggers them to feel stressed, or whether it's just actually it's more soothing to be organizing. But I think having a bit of space in your life that you can carve out, even if it's 10 minutes. I think people can organize things quite quickly, can't they, if they know what they're doing?
Oh, definitely. And sometimes when I show, if I'm showing me organizing something on my stories, if I'm doing something in my own house, then I'll always write, this took me 20 minutes.
Yes.
Filming.
Yeah, I love
that. Because, you know, like what people don't understand is when you're filming it at the same time, it actually is quite, it makes everything a whole lot longer. Because I want people to realize, if you want to turn around and say, I'm going to do a draw today, you're only going to take 15, 20 minutes of your life. Because the biggest comment that I get a lot of the time is, who's got time for that? That's like the favorite comment is, who's got time for that? And actually, some things just don't take that much time. If you break it down, it doesn't take too much time. And of course, some things are going to take time to get started. Once you're in it and you've got your good systems in place, everything else is not going to take that much time. And actually, what you're going to do is you're going to gain time afterwards, because one of the reasons that I fold my underwear, which some people can't get their head around. When I worked in the store, I had certain underwear that I liked to wear to work because it was comfy and it went with everything that I, all my uniform that I had to wear. And some mornings I would spend so much time trying to find this underwear. And at that time I was a single parent and my mornings were just down to a T, like timing wise. If I spent so much time looking for this underwear and it knocked off my whole schedule, then I would just feel like so stressed and, you know, getting to work, I'd be late maybe, or, you know, something like that. And I just remember I was like, right, I've got to organize this underwear. And then I started folding my underwear and I didn't have that again. Like, I didn't have that time where I couldn't find it in the morning. And it sounds quite silly. But for me, in that moment in the morning to get my kid to school and get ready for work, it was really important to keep on schedule. It was one of those things. It's like little, and not everyone understands it and not everyone resonates, because maybe some people weren't on a little much of a tight schedule that I was at that time in my life in the morning, but it did really help me.
Yeah,
so I was looking for what I call the after value.
Yeah, exactly. So you're taking time, but it's time from one place to go to another place, essentially.
Yeah, the work I'm putting in is my own time, where I'm not in a rush or I'm not on a schedule. Or if I don't do it, it's not going to affect anything. And that's allowing those times of my day where I am on a schedule and I do need to be on a deadline and I do need to be in a place at a time, or I have got another human to get ready. I don't want to be the shouty mom that's projecting onto my child because she can't find a knickers, because that's just hideous. That's the kind of thing that I was just starting to realise.
Yeah. Just making your life easier, isn't it? It's actually about making your life easier, not making it harder. This episode is brought to you by Just Chill Baby Sleep, the number one infant sleep consultancy in the UK and beyond. We really love sleep and we want you to have all the information that you need about sleep at your fingertips. Our award-winning, self-led online courses can banish those bad nights and leave you feeling calm and in control, and most of all, well-rested. For more information about our online courses and one-to-one support, please go to justchillbabysleep.co.uk. Listeners can also use the code JCPP for 10% off any online course or bundle. So sleep well.
I feel like organizing just has got this just such bad rap. I see so many people on social media really like ripping into parents in particular and people who, you know, really take the time to be organized. And actually, they're reaping the rewards of it completely. And I, don't get me wrong, I'm not, if you came around my house, I'm not selling the dream of what some of these people are selling on social media, but I have got systems in place and they do benefit us all, and they do prevent arguments and they do prevent us not being on time somewhere and do allow me to sit for a little bit longer on the couch, because the kids might know where to get their stuff. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they benefit me in a good way, you know? Like, I don't have to get up off the couch from, like, you know, reading my book or watching My Family on Disney Plus. Because Arthur knows where all his toys are. He can get them himself. He's fine.
Yeah.
George, you know, I used to have this ongoing argument with George about his football kit because he plays football every single day. And there's like three different kits. And when it came to the point where there was three different kits, because you don't wake up and have a child and you've got three different football kits. You learn, you know, that happens. So you're never going to have that organization from day one. And that's really important to remember. You assess why you need these organizations as your life moves on, as your children grow up, as you change jobs, move house, whatever.
Yeah.
So like we get to these three different kits and he's like, where's this? Where's that? I'm like, I don't know. And it's in the wash basket or it's here or it's there. And then one day when it came to the, I couldn't argue with him anymore. And I was stressing out because he's like 5, 6 at the time. I was, you know, I can't expect him to put the wash on. So it was my job to get them washed. And I was like, do you know, and then, but it was his job to have them in his room. But then he's so little, I need to show him how we're going to do this.
Yeah.
So actually we decided instead of having the socks in the sock drawer, t-shirts, football t-shirts in with t-shirts, we did a whole drawer with all the football stuff.
Amazing.
Simple as that. And we put the socks in because sometimes I think our brains go socks with socks.
Yes.
T-shirts with t-shirts, shorts with shorts. No, not in my house. We have a football drawer because I have a child who plays football. So when he needs to get his football stuff or I need to put it away, it's all in one drawer. And also that way we can see if there's something missing and we might need to get something else or we've left it somewhere or something like that. And we also have all the uniform in one place as well. So all the uniforms in one drawer. So then the kids know how to get their uniform and they can see I need socks, I need a t-shirt, da 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 da. So yeah, I'm all for categories like that. But you get there, you know, not everyone's kid plays football, but you might have a kid that does something else, like brownies, put all the brownie stuff. And it could be in a tub as well. We've got some of George's, we've got football accessories that don't quite fold into a drawer. So we've got like shin pads. Oh God, I don't know. I'm not proving to be a very good football mom here, but he's 16 now, so I'm less involved. But in a tub in his cupboard.
Yeah.
But it all gets thrown in there. You know,
that's
it's
so
not
good.
Like placed in, it's thrown in, but at least we know it's in that tub. You know, there's nowhere else it can be. And I say that line a lot. If he is looking for something, I'll go, well, there's two places it can be, George. It can be in your football drawer or it can be in the laundry basket because I haven't washed it again. And most of the time it is because I haven't washed it. So poor George on that one. It takes away the stress of not being ready. It takes away that moment where you're like, oh, I'm such a bad mom because I haven't got this stuff ready that he physically couldn't have done. Like he couldn't have used the washing machine at that point. But then it also adds to your life because George very quickly didn't need me to help him have his football stuff ready. It transpired. There was a period from when he was about 7, 8, 9, because we had to go from school very quickly to football. And he had a very small period where he had to get ready. I couldn't help him get ready because I had to make his snacks because I would get home from work. So I'd be making his football snacks. He'd need to get ready. Then he actually started laying his kit out on his bed. And I thought that was really interesting and cute. And also just shows that you don't have to, like, you don't have to necessarily make them do everything for them to then turn into these people that do get it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my kids have never folded clothes. I get asked that all the time. I just don't make them do that. I'm not interested. I haven't got the kids really just want to do that. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say there. But my niece, she loves it. She's like, show me how to fold this. Show me how to do that. I'm watching your, and she's 7. She's like, I'm watching your videos and I folded all my stuff and I got drawer dividers that you gave us. But my kids, I didn't have those kids because it's different personalities, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
But the more you role model around those kids, and they feel the greatness like George did, then they do start to do stuff and they do start to contribute and they do start to add to the routine. By role modeling the behaviors, they will pick up on it.
I think that's key in all areas of parenting, whether it's behavior, whether it's modeling, having a good bedtime routine, looking after yourself. All of these things, our children are watching us, and not to make people paranoid, I want people to be confident that by looking after yourself, your own things, your own health, then eventually your children will start copying what you do, and hopefully you can 100%. Make some really positive changes if you want to. So, Sophie, I want to thank you so much for joining me. I think you've given us so many words of wisdom. Honestly, I'm going to go away and tidy some more of my home and remind myself and look at some of your videos. If anyone would like to find out more about what you do, you've got a book, haven't you?
I have a book. It's called The Folding Lady. Shock horror on that title. It's called The Folding Lady. It's my first book. I mean, it's a couple of years old now, but it's a little introduction to myself and where this all came from, because I'm not a typical professional organizer. So I am a bit different from some of the other people, you know, how to find your after value and how organizing is just so personal to you. When you emailed me, Rosie, you said, do I believe in a tidy...
Yes.
I believe in a tidy house, tidy mind.
Yeah.
And I absolutely don't, but that's purely based on the language of that. I believed in an organized house, an organized mind. And what everyone needs to remember is the organization is the system. It's the tidying that is the should be sort of a lot of the time quite joyful. So untidiness, and I talk about this in the book, is just what happened that day. It's just like a representation of we had a great time painting. We played with our toys. We got them all out. We had a great time. We were tired. So, you know, we might have a pile of nappies in the corner. That's and that can all be sorted. Tidiness is different to being organized. But untidiness is great. And what organization will do is help the tidying be quicker to tidy up. And that's the important bit, because you have to become untidiness has to happen for you to live your life. You have to get messy while you're cooking, and you have to get when guests come around, things get out of place. And we shouldn't hate on that. That's great. But it's the organization that will help you tidy that up quicker daily. Mess is the sign of a good time.
Yeah.
But I do believe in an organized house is an organized mind, because then when it does get untidy, you won't feel overwhelmed, because it'll be so quick to put back into place.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I've honestly absolutely loved this chat. I think it's been really natural and open, and just how you are on your social media.
Thank you.
If anyone wants to follow Sophie, you're at The Folding Lady, aren't you?
Yes, at The Folding Lady. And yeah, thank you, Rosie. I'm so like, I just can't believe I'm on your podcast. I just can't believe it.
Thank you so much for coming. So guys, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please remember to review, rate and subscribe to the podcast. It means the absolute world to have you listening. I'll be back soon with more parenting problems, rants and sleep information soon. So sleep well.